The third chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of the region of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruits as evidence of your repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? He said to them in reply, whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what should we do? He answered them, stop collecting more than what is prescribed. Soldiers also asked him, and what is it that we should do? He told them, do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Messiah. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. Now Herod the Tetrarch, who had been censured by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil deeds Herod had committed, added still another to these by also putting John in prison. After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. When Jesus began his ministry, he was about 30 years of age. He was the son, as was thought, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mattat, the son of Levi, the son of Melchi, the son of Janni, the son of Joseph, the son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Elsai, the son of Nagai, the son of Math, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Joda, the son of Jonan, the son of Ressa, the son of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam, the son of Elmdam, the son of the son of Joshua, the son of Eleazar, the son of Joram, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonam, the son of Eliakim, the son of Meliah, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, the son of Nathan, the son of David, the son of Jesse, the son of Obad, the son of Boaz, the son of Salah, the son of Nashon, the son of Amminadab, the son of Admin, the son of Arni, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor, the son of Serug, the son of Rehu, the son of Peleg, the son of Eber, the son of Shelah, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahaliel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Please be seated. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptist, following the tradition of the prophets before him, calls Israel to repentance and offers them this striking ultimatum: produce fruit fitting of your relationship with God, or suffer punishment. Hearing this, it's no wonder if we, like the crowd, begin to grow anxious. What fruit have I produced? Will it be enough? What more is there that I could do? It wasn't meant to be this way, and we weren't meant to live like this. But through union with Christ, helped by the sacraments he has instituted, we can once again produce good fruit. In the Garden of Eden, there was an intimate and fruitful relationship between creation and its creator. Made in the image of God, Adam and Eve were united to God's will. Man existed in harmony with all of creation and produced good fruit. But due to the entrance of sin in the world, our human nature was wounded. We were removed from the presence of God, and our once fruitful relationship with him withered and became barren. Man began carrying out his own will instead of God's, and that warped will produced bitter fruits: hatred, rivalry, jealousy, and fury. We reaped those wicked fruits, and we were destined for eternal punishment. But it was for this purpose that Christ came into the world: to heal our wounded nature and reconcile us with God, that we may once again bear the good fruit of the divine life. Coming as the gardener who tends the barren fig tree, the Son with whom the Father is well pleased has cultivated our ground and fertilized our roots with his precious blood. In him and through his blood, our human nature has been redeemed, and we have been given the opportunity to bear good fruit once more. Through the sacraments, we are given the grace to draw near to God and to produce the good fruits of the divine life. By baptism, we are incorporated into Christ's body, the church. Through sacramental confession, our separations from Christ are healed. And in the Eucharist, we are intimately united with Christ and his will. Each and every sacrament effectively unites us to Christ, and thus to the will of God. But though Christ has redeemed our human nature and given us these sacraments, we still grow anxious about the judgment of our fruits. I don't feel peaceful, joyful, generous, or patient, so how could I ever produce good fruits? We must first recognize that the fruits of the Spirit are actions and not emotions. They're things we do and not things we feel. Saints such as Mother Teresa and Saint John of the Cross experienced profound spiritual darkness, feeling nothing in spite of their union with God's will and their good works. But they continued to bear good fruit and carried it out in union with the divine will. It's not how we feel, but what we do that counts. It's not how we appear, but what we are that will be examined in the end. Secondly, we must always ask God for the grace to produce these fruits. In quiet moments, we can do this by making small acts of the will, acts of faith, acts of love, acts of contrition, even simply calling on the holy name of Jesus in our hearts. And whenever possible, we should receive the sacraments, especially confession and the Eucharist. By recognizing that the good fruits of the Christian life are actions and asking for God for the necessary grace, we open ourselves to be united more perfectly with God's divine will. By this unity alone can we produce the good fruits that are expected of us. So tonight, look to Christ in the Eucharist, fruit of the earth and work of human hands, which has become for us the bread of life. Look to him in this sacrament and ask him to draw you towards him. Offer yourself to him, to be pruned, fertilized, and watered, so that united to him, you may produce good fruit.